Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Meridian, Canto 6, Chapter 18, Text 46. Dite vacha darayishye mratam raman bruhi karyani yani me yani jeha nishidhani na Vratam Nanti Jnani Uta Ditiruvacha Darayishye Vratam Brahman Bruhi Karyani Yani Me Yani Cheha Nishidani Nabratam Gnanti Yanyata Ditiru Vacha Darayishye Vratam Brahma Bruhikaryani Jani Me Yani Cheha Nishidani Navratam Gnanti Jani Yuta. Please chant. Jitu Vacha Darayishe Vratam Brahman Brika Yani Yani Me Yani Deya Dishadam Yavatam Gnanti Yani Yata Yavatam Darayishyavatam Brahman Brika Yani Yani Cheyam Nishidani Navratam Gnanti Yani Yata Yitu Vaksha Yishevatam Mama Darayishyavatam Brahman Kulikaryani Hanime Anicheya Nishidhani Avatam Nantiyata. Ditirvacha Darayishyavatam Brahman Nuikaryani yani me. Yani che yani shignani. Namatam ramanti yang yuta.
Do you speak English? Good. Anyone else?
Jatuvacha Darayasivatam Brahma Vikaryani Yani Namatam Gantiya
Jatuvacha. Jiti said, Darishye, I shall accept Ratam Vau Brahman, my dear Brahman. Bruhi, please state Karyani must be done. Yani, what may to me. Yani, what cha an. Iha, here. Nishidani is forbidden. Na, not. Bratam, the vow. Nanti, break. Yani, what? Uta, also. Translation and purport. Diti replied to her husband, my dear Brahman, I must accept your advice and follow the vow. Now, let me understand what I have to do, what is forbidden, and what will not break the vow. Please clearly state all this to me. As stated above, this refers to text 42. As stated above in text 42, Kashyapa said, to satisfy their own interests, women deal with men as if the men were most dear to them, but no one is actually dear to them. So, as stated above, women deal with men as if they're most dear to them, but actually no one is dear to them. A woman is generally inclined to serve her own purpose, her own purposes. Kashyapa Muni proposed to train Diti to fulfill her desires within 1 year. And since she was eager to kill Indra, she immediately agreed, saying, please let me know what the vow is and how I have to follow it. I promise that I shall do the needful and not break the vow. This is another side of a woman's psychology. Even though a woman is very fond of fulfilling her own plans, when someone instructs her, especially her husband, she innocently follows. And thus, she can be trained for better purposes. By nature, a woman wants to be a follower of a man. Therefore, if the man is good, if the man is good, the woman can be trained for a good purpose. Om Agnate Manandasya Gyananjana Sulakaya Chakshusunmilitam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Maneham Sri Guru Sri Utpar Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sakajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Subarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Mischam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishamanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Gopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Dhitirvacha Darayishye Vratam Brahman Bruhi Karayani Yani Me Yani Chehanishadhani Navratam Gnanti Yan Yutta. Diti says to her husband, I shall accept the vow. My dear Brahman husband, please tell me what I should do and what I shouldn't do, how I can make sure I don't do something forbidden. Bruhi, please say, Bruhi. So Diti is requesting Kashyapa's instructions, just as Arjun asked Krishna, Shishyasteham Karpanyadosha Pahata Svabhava Prachami Tvam Dharma Samudha Chetaha Yatsayas Shishyasteham. Yes, Shishyasteham. Bruhi, where does Bruhi come in? Bruhi Tanme, Shishyas. Yeah, Bruhi is at the end of the third line. What's the third line? Yatsreyasyan Nishchitam Bruhi Tanme. That was it. Yes, Shishyasteham Bruhi Tanme. Then? Yes, Rayasyan Shishyasteham Prapanyam. Karpanya dosha pahata svabhava prachamitam dharma samudha cheta yatsayasyan shunischita. Shunischita. Bhagavad Gita is here? Give me the Bhagavad Gita, please. But anyway, the point of the verse is that Diti is requesting Kashyapa's instructions. Three times she says, what? What should I do? What should I do? What should I not do? And Prabhupada says, this is another side of a woman's psychology. She's willing to learn when someone instructs her, especially if it's her husband. The other side mentioned a little earlier in a previous verse by Kashyapa, the other side is that a woman is generally serving her own purposes. She can be selfish. And to fulfill her selfish purpose, she'll even treat people in a very friendly way outwardly, as if they are very dear to her. But they're actually not. Nischitam bruhi yatsrayas yan nischitam bruhitanme. Nischitam means confidently. With confidence. Tell me with confidence what is the best thing. When Arjuna felt quite weak, he turned to Krishna and he wanted Krishna to give him confidence. Nischitam bruhi. So, nischitam is like an adverb. Bruhi is the verb. Please state it. Please say it. How? How? Nischitam, with confidence. Shadi, just instruct me. Shadi mum. So we see Diti is in the same position. And Kashyapa is not exactly in the same position as Krishna. In the sense, although he's instructing like Krishna, in that sense he's a Brahman, he's giving instruction. But he's not so confident. Because he doesn't want his wife to kill Indra. He thinks it's a bad idea. And this is not the first time that he's gotten into this situation with his wife. Previously, long time before that, Diti persuaded Kashyapa to unite with her, and two demons were born, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And Kashyapa very much regretted that. And now this time also, he's been persuaded by his wife. His wife has used all kinds of endearing behavior to win over the mind of her husband. And then he says, what do you want? And she says, I want a son that can kill Indra. And he immediately regrets. But anyway, he is very intelligent and he has a way to engage Diti, a proper way to engage Diti in devotional service that turns out to be a transcendental, wonderful solution. the whole next chapter, chapter 19, the next chapter, is about the ceremony. Jaisi Sugunitai, Sri Radharas Bihari, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So chapter 19 is about the ceremony that Diti performs under Kasyapa's instructions. And as we'll find out by the end of the next chapter, even the end of this chapter, Diti is engaged in devotional service, so she's becoming purified by her contact with Lord Vishnu. And Indra also becomes purified because he observes Diti performing devotional service, so he's also in touch with this Vaishnav worship. He's in touch with Vishnu also by observing Diti. But Indra's purpose is to find a fault in the performance of the ritualistic ceremony so that he can interfere with Diti's purpose. Diti's purpose is to have a son that will kill Indra, so Indra wants to stop this. So he looks for something that she shouldn't do, something that she does wrong, so that he can interrupt the ritual. And in this case, what happens is that when Diti makes a mistake, Indra tries to kill the child in the womb by cutting it into 7 pieces. And then, sort of like a terrorist, nowadays we hear about the terrorists who are slicing up people's bodies, cutting off their heads. So something like that. Indra, then he's not satisfied by cutting the embryo into 7 pieces. He cuts each of the 7 pieces into 7 more pieces. So we have 49. But by the arrangement of the Lord, all these 49 pieces of the womb survive as individual sons. Completely inconceivable. It can only be understood transcendentally. What happens next is also transcendental. The children are delivered, and then Indra and Diti and the children sit together, and they each discuss their purposes. And Diti says, I actually wanted to have a son to kill you. And Indra said, I know, I wanted to interfere. But the Bhagavatam explains that because both of them were in touch with Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu's devotional service, their minds became purified. And practically speaking, this purpose of Diti went unfulfilled, and she was pacified just by having these sons. She asked Indra to accept the sons as his associates. In other words, she wanted her sons to attain the long duration of life of the demigods. So she said, you please accept these cousins. These are your cousins. They're like your brothers. So you please accept them. Make them like the demigods. Make them practically immortal. So Indra did that. He took them to the heavenly planets. And in this way, Diti was pacified. So the credit, Bhagavatam gives the credit to the devotional service. the transcendental devotional service removed the envy that and the anger from Diti's heart. She had so much anger that Indra had been involved in killing her two sons, Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha. The Lord actually killed the sons. The Lord incarnated to kill the two demons. But it was for the sake of Indra. Diti knew that it was for the sake of the demigods that the Lord did this. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport by nature a woman wants to follow a man, therefore if the man is good, the woman can be trained for a good purpose. Can you repeat that? No, yes. Can you repeat what Prabhupada said? No. You missed it. Who heard it? Did you hear it? What Prabhupada said? Missed it. And then what? With a good man's instructions, she can achieve a good purpose. So a woman wants to be a follower of a man. And if the man is good, the woman can achieve a good purpose. He can train her. So we should maybe express a caution at this point. We might be unconscious. We might rush into making a judgment here that anytime a woman achieves something good, anytime a woman achieves a good purpose, it can only be because a good man has trained her. But that's not what the purport says. That in any and all cases, a woman achieves a good purpose only if a good man trains her. We don't want to overgeneralize. The Bhagavatam is very emphatic about instructing us about a woman's psychology, and it's easy to overgeneralize. I was thinking of some examples of women who are prominent in the world who are achieving good purposes. I thought of the Queen of England. The Queen of England is a very prominent woman. She's ruled for 60 years. During her 60th anniversary, she visited the Krishna Avanti School in London, the first state-funded Krishna-centered school. She paid a visit during her 60th anniversary, and she saw the children chanting, she saw the deities. Anyway, Queen of England, how much of what she's achieved can we say is due to a good man training her? What about Mother Teresa? Did Mother Teresa achieve all her good purposes because a good man trained her? What about Hema Malini, famous dancer, famous devotee? Now she's a politician in Mathura. Did she achieve everything because a good man trained her? I'm just pointing out that we don't want to overgeneralize and say that a woman can't do anything unless she follows a good man's instruction. She's inclined to follow a man. That's okay. A woman is inclined to follow a man. And if the man is good, then she can be trained for a good purpose. That's all the purport says. Now let's talk about a good man. A good man is on the platform of the quality of goodness, sattva-gun. Srila Prabhupada makes the point in another place, in another class that he gave. This doesn't mean that he's a liberated soul. A good man might be a Brahmin, but he's still a conditioned soul. He's not a liberated soul just because he's good. He's actually bound to this condition of goodness. He's bound to the mode of goodness. And of course, we know that it's very rare to find a pure devotee, a liberated soul. There may be many good men, but it's rare to find a pure devotee. So Prabhupada was encouraging the devotees in this lecture, try to keep the distinction in mind between a man in the mode of goodness and a pure devotee. And of course, we know there are different types of men according to the different modes of nature. There are men in the mode of goodness, men in the mode of passion, people in the mode of ignorance, and all the modes are mixed up. It's not that there's pure goodness, pure passion, and pure ignorance. They're all mixed up. And because the soul, the Bhagavad Gita says, because the soul is attached to these qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance, because of that attachment to the qualities, that's the cause of birth into different wombs. Someone is born in a womb of a mother who's in the mode of goodness, more in the mode of goodness. Someone is born into a mother who's more in the mode of ignorance or passion. One attains birth in a particular type of womb, the Bhagavad Gita says, because of his attachment to these qualities. Parusha Prakriti Sto. The living entity, Parusha Prakriti, he's involved in this Prakriti, Parusha Prakriti. The living entity is involved in the nature, material nature. Purusha Prakriti Sta. He's situated in the material nature. And he enjoys what's produced by the material nature. He enjoys the modes of nature. He experiences these qualities. And his attachment to this kind of experience is what produces the birth in a particular womb. So, talking about a good man, a man who's situated in sattva-gun, going back again to the topic of a good man, Srila Prabhupada was discussing the topic of a good man in a conversation, and he said, a good man might be there, but how much good can he do? He's limited in his power to do good. Limited in his power. He may be thinking, well, I'll do good for the nation, I'll do good for the society. You take someone like Gandhi. Prabhupada was influenced by Gandhi when he was a college student. Gandhi wanted to do good for the whole nation. But Prabhupada said that's actually a limitation. That's a limitation on his thinking. He's limited in his power, what he can think about, because he's bound by the mode of goodness. Only if he becomes unlimited in his thinking, if he thinks of the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he can overcome these limitations. And then he can do good for everyone. Also, looking at it just from another angle, if he wants to do good, he can't do it independently of the Personality of Godhead. He's dependent on the Personality of Godhead to accomplish whatever good purpose he wants to accomplish. But generally, these are all mental concoctions, Prabhupada said. What someone thinks is good, what someone thinks is bad. Just a mental concoction, usually. That's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Prabhupada's definition of what is good and bad was really black and white. He said, one who is not God-conscious, he must be bad. And one who is God-conscious is good. This should be the only criterion. So what's the criterion of good and bad? What's the criterion of what is good and bad? Yes. And someone who is not God-conscious, not Krishna-conscious, he's bad. And this is taken from the Bhagavatam, 5th canto. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana savayargunas tatra samasate guna sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna mano ratena sati davato bahi. This means that if someone is situated in the material energy, Purusha Prakriti, if he's just situated in the material energy, then everything he does, everything he thinks, will be based on the chariot of the mind. He's riding on the chariot of the mind. Manoratena sati. He's riding on the chariot of the material energy, the chariot of the mind. And he can't go beyond the material energy. He's limited by that. He's bound by that prakriti. So if he's a non-devotee, he's in this situation. He's just limited by maya, by the material energy. Harava bhaktasya, someone who's not a devotee. So he cannot be said to have any good qualities. But someone who is a devotee, who's a kinchana, who's not attached to the material energy, it's said that he has sarva guna, all the good qualities of the demigods. So this is Prabhupada's definition and the Bhagavatam's definition. So, Diti requests Kashyapa's instructions, and he's a good man. She by nature wants to follow a man, and this man is good, Kashyapa is good. So he trains his wife for a good purpose. We talk about a man being good. a good man. Srila Prabhupada used to say about men in general, a man is good. And he said, also, a woman is good also. He said, a man is good and a woman is good. But when they combine, they become bad unless there is regulation. So a husband and wife have to know how to regulate their dealings. They have to be trained. Not only that a woman has to be trained for a good purpose, but a man also needs training for a good purpose of being a good husband. He has to learn regulations, follow regulations. And if there are no regulations, then the combination of a good man and a good woman is bad. So Prabhupada quoted this kind of frequently. He was dealing with a lot of young men and young women in the West. And they were not trained to be regulated. So he was trying to train them to be good, so that the combination would not be bad. And he would emphasize this point by saying that ultimately Vedic civilization is meant to release this bond between the man and the woman, to slacken the enjoyment, to decrease the enjoyment. After the age of 50, the association of a man and woman is meant to decrease. And ultimately there's meant to be separation. The man takes sannyas. And why? Because why is the separation a good idea? Because it's helpful for spiritual advancement. In the Grihastha ashram, if the woman and the man are regulated, that's helpful for spiritual advancement, up to a point. But then separation after the age of 50 and ultimately sannyas, that's good at that stage for spiritual advancement. If there's unity all the time, that's bondage. Of course, in the West, Westerners are very much used to man and wife, husband and wife, staying together the whole life. When the Christians get married, if they get married in the church, they take a vow that we will stay together, we will stay united until death do us part. Until death comes, we'll stay together. That's the vow of the married couple in the West. So for Prabhupada to come and say, excuse me, you're 50, could you separate now? And the husband and wife say, what? You know, until death do us part. The Western civilization is very much influenced this way, to think that the man and the woman, husband and wife, should, that's the best thing, to stay together. Anyway, Prabhupada gave a reason for saying man is good, woman is good. It was not just a mental concoction. You know, we said earlier, when we say good and bad, it's mental concoction. But Prabhupada gave a reason why the man is good and why the woman is good. A scriptural reason. What did he say? A man is good because he's part and parcel of God. And a woman is good, part and parcel of God. But when they unite, they become bad unless they are regulated. So, when a man is good, he can train his wife for a good purpose. a woman naturally wants to follow a man? Any questions or comments?
Nowadays we see many women are trainer. They are training men also. Under her instruction, many men are taking instruction. So in school, colleges also we see many women is lecturer and teachers. And actually some women is more qualified than men also. So how you can say always woman is follow man. Nowadays many men is following women. What is your opinion?
Yes, even the, we can say that all the men, every man has followed a woman, because every man was born and followed the Adi Guru, his mother. So every man was trained by a woman from the beginning. So that's not bad. Especially if the mother is God conscious, that's not bad. We're not against women who are God conscious training others. We're against women who are not God conscious trying to train others in principles or teachings that are not God conscious. When we see that there are women professors, we can understand that these are intelligent women. They have good brains. They maybe come with good pious credit into this life. They get a good education. Good education is a sign of piety. So a woman who is educated, it's because of her piety. And if she's God conscious, that's extra good. And it may be a little awkward for a man to take instruction from a woman, because the natural order is that a woman wants to follow a man. But even from the beginning of our birth, we naturally followed a woman. We followed our mothers. So it's also natural. It's also natural to some extent that a man follows a woman's instruction. To some extent. What about a woman who is Krishna conscious? The question now is being debated in ISKCON. Can a woman who is Krishna conscious, who has been a follower of Srila Prabhupada for a long time and is a mature devotee, can she give the Hare Krishna mantra to a disciple? Maybe mature Vaishnavis can give a lot of instruction to younger devotees, and maybe especially to women. Maybe if we had more women who are teachers, maybe the women in our movement would learn more from older women who are teachers. We see that in the Grihastha community, like in Chaupati, you have couples, Grihasthas, who are teaching. So the women are imparting their experience. They teach the other women and the other young Grihasthas about family life. just some consideration. Is that enough of an answer to satisfy your? You satisfied with these answers? Yes.
We learn mother language from mother also. Every child from beginning his life he is following mother also, woman also. All men or women. When
yeah, women
born,
and men,
are born from
mother. Yes.
So from beginning he learned first language from mother. Mother is first guru, first spiritual master.
Yes.
We learn so many things from mothers, women. Yes. From beginning our life is also learning so many good, bad quality from mother also. That means woman is our beginner trainer.
You learn qualities from your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Good qualities or bad qualities.
Bad quality.
We learn our... Yes. My mother smoked cigarettes. So I was inclined. I also like to drive, so I also tried to smoke. I think you had your hand up first. Can you go next? And then we'll come back to you.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, it is said that every limb of our body is presided by a demigod. So is that when we do some mistake, it is because of demigod's influence? Because here also Indra was looking for some mistake in Diti's practice.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Indra was watching Diti. Maybe he influenced her because demigods control the senses of all the living entities. I'm not an expert on how much the demigods are controlling our senses. That's kind of a scientific question. What can I say? Something to think about. And your question?
Coach, I have a comment.
Comment.
On this topic, the contest is that Kashyap is the husband of Aditi. So he is one type of spiritual master also, because he is a trained Brahman. So generally, a woman should be follow her husband's instruction if he is trained. So the same position, the Krishna also instructed to Arjuna. So similarly, Kashyap also instructed to Diti, the same position.
Yeah.
Another comment that in a Hare Krishna challenge, Prabhupada says about women's liberation. So women should not be get liberation by indifferent.
Speak a little more clearly and slowly.
Women should not be get liberation. Means
liberation.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Yes.
They should not be free. Okay. Not moksha, but free.
Yeah. According Manu Sangeeta, a woman should protect from its childhood by parents, and in youthhood, she should be protected by her husband, and old age, she should protect by her son. So maybe a woman be liberated than man, still she should be controlled by superior, means husbands or matured son or parents.
Yeah, there's no doubt that that's stated. Prabhupada emphasized this many, many times. Think of a modern marriage, though. Think of two devotees in ISKCON who are married. They both have Indian backgrounds. Let's take this as an example. They're living in America. The man is very well trained. He becomes a lawyer. He becomes very successful as a lawyer. But he's also like a Brahmin, he knows Vastu, Shastra. So this is his hobby, he does Vastu. He knows how to help people learn to live in a very harmonious way in the environment. Plus he's a very successful lawyer, so he's really paka. And he's married to a girl who was raised in an Indian family in America and went to a Gurukul, one of the ISKCON Gurukuls. So she doesn't have much experience of Indian culture because she wasn't born in India. She grew up in America, so she's westernized, huh? And they get married. So this is like, maybe we could say a typical Grihastha couple in ISKCON nowadays, maybe. You know, some Western influences there on both the husband and wife. So such a husband can nicely protect his wife, and the wife can nicely follow the husband because the husband's so qualified. So there's no problem with this idea that, you know, she shouldn't be given freedom. But what's the freedom going to look like? It's not going to look like the Muslim lady who has to wear a full covering over her body. The Muslim lady is not given, in some cases, the freedom to even show her face or body. So the Vaishnav idea of limiting a woman's freedom is not like that. It doesn't look like that. And in other ways also, the Vaishnav Mataji who's married, her freedom or her lack of freedom under the care or protection of the husband may look differently than it would have if she lived in India 100 years ago. The limitations on women in India 100 years ago are going to look different than the limitations on women who live now in the 2015, but they still may be protected by a properly trained husband. But of course, you know, if a woman from India looks at a woman in the West, an Indian woman in the West, she may be surprised. Though this Indian woman seems to have so much freedom, it seems like she's not protected properly. Just because times change. So we have to consider different things when we talk about that.
In Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, Jaya Paisu Papa Joneya, Striya Vaisya Tatha Sudra Staya Pijanti Paramgati. Also, their papa jonis, vaisya, sudras, and stri. But when they will take Krishna consciousness, devasana, then they will be transcendent.
Yes.
But now at this, in ISKCON, we are discussing in a train, the Purushottam Maharaj and Vrajhari Prabhu. So Maharaj was telling, Purushottam Maharaj, His Holiness Purushottam Maharaj.
Bhakti Purushottam?
Yes, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. He asked few days before to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He asked, Maharaj, you stayed here long time in ISKCON and India. So why you are addressing Mataji like Prabhu? How we can change this gender, this masculine and feminine gender, how it can be changed? Then Maharaj laughed, Radhanath Maharaj, and he told, because she likes that I should address her as Prabhu. So that, but this is not our culture. We should not be deviate from our Vedic culture. Even Kunti, Gandhari, they are so elevated. But still, Dhritarashtra Maharaj, he did not address Prabhu or Mister. Or cannot address now.
Well, I can comment on this. A couple of days ago, I was reading Prabhupada's description of the way the different social orders were referred to. The Vaishya was called Seti. Seti means a rich man. A Kshatriya was referred to... How was he referred to? Can't remember. Brahmin. Anyway, Brahmin, Vaishya... Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Prabhupada gave the description. But the Shudra thing is the one I want to talk about. Prabhupada said a Shudra was addressed as Mahajan. Means, you know, a great person. Why? Because if you don't refer to him that way, then he becomes a little displeased because he's in that position of servant of the others. So you glorify him so that he doesn't feel less. So this is the point Radhanath Maharaj was making, that the woman may like that. Isn't it?
Purushottam Maharaj told.
Purushottam Maharaj, he told, but I asked Maharaj. Maharaj told, she likes that I should add.
Yeah. Okay, another question? Two more questions.
प्रभु जी माफ कीजिएगा, प्रभु जी मैं हिंदी में पूछूंगा। प्रभु जी अभी बोल रहे थे जैसा इंद्र, वो तो भगवान के भक्त हैं इंद्र, और भगवान के प्रतिनिधित्व भी कर रहे हैं, लेकिन वो यहाँ पे उदिति के घर में जाके वो बच्चे का हत्या करने के लिए चाह रहे हैं, तो शुद्ध भक्त भी ऐसा कर सकते हैं क्या? भगवान के भक्त भी ऐसा कर सकते हैं क्या?
This is Indra's mentality at the time. So it's not a very good mentality, but that's bodily consciousness. When someone's in the bodily concept of life, that's how he thinks. This is my enemy. And even if he's a devotee, he may think, well, you know, I'm a demigod, and this son of Diti may be a demon, and the demigods many times fight the demons. But this state of mind is something that Diti points out as one reason why Indra deserves to be killed. She says, Indra has killed my sons. And such a person who's always thinking about defending, killing, securing the demigod's position, you know, this eating, sleeping, mating, defending, this platform of just living in the material world, such a person who's absorbed in these things and forgetful of the higher thing, he's no better than an animal. Therefore, Indra deserves to be killed. This was her reasoning why she went through with this plan of conceiving a son who could kill Indra. She said, he killed my sons. He's on this lower platform. You know, he's just like an animal in this world. So it's true that, you know, even from Diti's assessment, she was assessing him as being, you know, degraded in consciousness. So what to speak of killing, you know, the embryo? But it's not exactly the same as what is being done in the name of abortion nowadays, because it's a pastime of Indra, and the Supreme Lord is involved in this pastime. So ultimately, this is some pastime of Vasudev. We say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're studying the pastimes of Vasudev. So sometimes the demigods are playing this role. They try to kill their enemies, even if it's an embryo. But it's not the same as this abortion, which is so prevalent nowadays. Last question, huh?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. My question is that there are so many scientists. Among all of them, none of them are women, all are men. Why that?
So you're pointing out something that others have pointed out, that men often are prominent in fields of endeavor, like science. Maybe also we could include other fields like public administration, government. We find that the men are more prominent. So many people have observed this. And some observers say, well, this is because men are more intelligent, so they have the brain capacity to do these things, to lead in these fields. And another observer will say, no, this is because society is patriarchal. There's always this preference given to the men. The women are not given equal education. And if you just gave the women, you know, enough opportunity, they could also excel. So there are two sides to it. And the argument is going on. Even in ISKCON, who can be a guru? Can a woman become a guru? So recently I saw some evidence in the form of a letter that said, here in our Vaishnav lines, we have history of women gurus. We have how many women have become gurus in different Vaishnav lines. Somebody had compiled a list with names. And it wasn't a very long list. It was kind of a short list. But the percentage of women in that list who had been gurus was 30%. And the person who wrote the letter was asking, can others verify that this list is accurate? The question just was, is this list accurate? Someone had put together a list. And the question was, is the list accurate? If it is accurate, then 30% of Vaishnav in history gurus were women. And what I found interesting about that was that in ISKCON, I've noticed in the 40 years I've been a member, the number of ladies in the temples is, not in India, but in the West, the number of ladies in the temples is usually about 30%. There's usually about 2/3 men and 1/3 women. Same percentage as in that list. Here in India, in your temples, you don't have the Brahmacharini ashram. That was something Prabhupada made for the West, Brahmacharini ashram, because the women didn't have protection of their parents. Their parents were not devotees. So Prabhupada said, okay, let them come into the ashram. So are you a 30%er? Or are you a 90%er? we all have to think about these things and decide, you know, I think the men should be 99% and, you know, women 1%. We all take positions, but we should take a position, you know, in a very cool-headed way, giving proper emphasis according to Shastra and everything else. All right, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.